This is episode 133 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com.
I'm sorry, actually. I don't know. You gonna start with an inside joke?
No, we can cut that.
Yeah, okay.
that's why I left the.
Okay, I'm thinking, man, this. Start with an inside joke.
No, the listeners aren't gonna even know what the joke was.
Okay. Welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Oh, we're actually gonna do it now.
We're already recording.
Yeah,
I hit record.
Yeah.
Damn us in our non-editing ways.
Now, Tony, oh, by the way, happy nerdy second birthday, Tony.
Yay!
The old fart.
God, that's so nerdy.
Yeah.
Both on what you said and how you said it. And
the fact that it's
fuck
Tony.
Fuck you, nerd.
No, actually, fuck Tony. Because he introduced to me last night, I think it was.
Yep.
The Adult Swim Too Many Cooks.
Yeah, it's something that I'd heard about before, and then finally watched it, and I thought it was fucking hilarious. And then it got stuck in my head, so I needed to impart that upon you.
Yeah, so if you guys want to know what we're talking about with Too Many Cooks, just... Was it on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. I posted it on our Facebook page, too.
How old is it now?
I don't know how old it is, to tell you the truth, but I heard it for like a month or two ago, people talking about it on this morning radio show, so...
Okay. Well, you know, as the older we get, the less cool we become, and we'll find out about cool stuff well after it happens.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure there's a chart out there that demonstrates that slide.
Well, it's what was it, the Harlem Shake? That's new, isn't it?
Still going on, right?
Yeah.
Just heard this about this cool new guy. His name is Psy. He has this awesome YouTube video.
Yeah, it's like K-poop or something like that. Yeah. We're so dumb. All right. Well, this is going to be a little bit different episode just because we're going to kind of pull some things out from the past and it's...
Are we having a flashback episode?
It kind of is.
It's weird that the publishers weren't, you know, catering to us to talk about their books. I mean, they didn't have a lot come out this week.
Well, I understand now why a lot of other comic-related podcasts take this week off, besides the fact that it's just holidays. There's not a lot out there. But we aren't slackers, and, well, we kind of are, but... but
I tell you... Who benefits from a slow week like this would be the indie guys who get their comics published through like Comixology,
yeah,
or similar applications like that. And God, there were a bunch of good deals.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're a fan of 99-cent issues, man, there was a bunch. Yeah. And maybe that was by design on their parts.
Well, yeah.
Or either that or like, the Comixology, they just wanted to just make it seem like something came out this week.
Could be that, too. So, well, anyway, I'm Derek. If you are new to the show, with me again, Kevin.
Hello.
And Tony.
Birthday boy.
It's my birthday. Hey, it's my birthday. I can't stand those girls.
I don't know who that is, but...
Haven't you ever... Okay, how many times have you been to the bar... And,
oh, yeah.
And there's drunk girl, it's my birthday, it's my birthday.
I haven't seen one of those type of girls in a long time.
Just wait till later, because it's my birthday.
It's because you're married and have a kid now. Yeah. You don't go to the bar that often.
No, but I'm trying to, like, in the last 5 years, I don't really think I remember that.
I saw one 2 weeks ago. But.
So are you going to, Tony, are you going to, like, take your shirt off?
Maybe. I'm going to wear those dollar bills on a pin. You ever see that for birthday people?
Well, no. Those you have to give them a dollar.
Yeah. But then they wear a dollar bill on some pin on their shirt Why? I don't know.
No, well, it's suck for a buck. That's actually what we need to do. We need to get you the shirt with all the lifesavers on it so people can come up and take the lifesaver off their teeth and then they give you a dollar.
I am not that person.
Unfortunately, you are.
Said the guy who runs around on St. Patrick's Day with a box of Lucky Charms.
It's all about the accessories.
That is true. Yeah, well, and what? And suck for a buck? Would you be happier if we made a belt for you instead rather than the shirt?
Yeah. Actually, if you made me something like that, I would consider wearing it. Because I'm afraid that you might actually make it, so I'm only going to consider it.
I got tired before we go out tonight. I'm going to get you a bungee cord, and we're going to just... All right. Shall we get things kicked off here, guys, with Off the Shelf?
Yeah, let's get this train wreck rolling.
All right, Kev.
I'm sorry. I'm only speaking for my own dumpster fire. And not your guys's, because... I probably should refrain from such things because I'm going to talk today about a wonderful book, Star Trek meets Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In a title called The Prime Directive, or The Primate Directive.
Yeah, I was going to say The Primate Directive sounds...
Yeah, that sounds way better. Now, this is Now, Derek, you set me straight on this. This is a crossover between IDN.
IDW.
I keep saying IDN.
Why do you keep saying IDN?
It's a work thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay. IDW, who owns Star Trek, and Boom Studios, who owns the rights to the comic book rights to Planet of the Apes. And before we get too deep into it, it's written by Scott Tipton, David Tipton, art by Rachel Scott. Colors by Charlie Kirchhoff, and letters by Tom Long.
Okay.
So I picked this up because I'm like, hey, I like Star Trek, and I'm still hot off of seeing Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I still haven't seen that. I'm like, I'm waiting for that one to come out. Like on Netflix.
Did you see the first one of the recent? Whatever this is.
Yeah, prequels. And I really, really enjoyed it.
I don't know anyone who didn't like that movie. And I can't get my wife to watch that movie. I'm like, this, it's got Malfoy in it. Come on. You gotta watch it. She's a huge Harry Potter fan. But I guess the power of... Ooh, the power of Malfoy. I just can't do it.
I actually went... I'm not that big of a Star Trek. I'm not that big of a Harry Potter guy when I'm like... Malfoy, that sounds familiar.
Ding! Harry Potter reference.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I don't know. After 8 titles and plenty of nerdom, I'm sure you would have heard Malfoy at some point.
Yeah, I saw the first movie and I read the first book. But
so I picked this up. I'm like, fuck, I'm digging that new Star Trek series. I've definitely mentioned it a few times on the show, and it's not the new Star Trek. It's the original Star Trek members. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. They're still doing those. And this is like James T. Kirk, Bones McCoy.
But it's the J.J. Abrams version of them, right?
It's the old school, like...
old school characters.
Yeah, I probably should reference the actual actors' names, because those are the same characters in J.J. Abrams. No, we're talking Will Shatner.
Oh, okay.
Leonard Nimoy.
Bones.
Scotty. Fat Scotty.
Yeah. Nichelle Nichols.
There you go.
Scotty.
Rest in peace. Sorry, Fat Scotty. and the Planet of the Apes, I thought it was, again, going to take from the more recent movie. No, it's the old school Planet of the Apes.
Charles Heston's in this?
He is.
Awesome.
Well, sort of.
He's at least referenced.
It's a teaser to the next issue, which is kind of like a blanket page. It basically previewing... The next cover.
Is the preview of the next cover just the damn you! Damn you all to hell!
Well, what's funny is that inside the B cover to this, and that's what I like about this digital download. It gives you the A and the B cover.
Uh-huh.
And this is the B cover. I'm going to show it to you guys, which is James T. Kirk, you know, Bill Shatner in front of the Statue of Liberty.
Nice.
Which, spoiler alert, that was the big reveal conclusion at the end of the original Planet of the Apes.
I fucking hate you. God, now I have no reason to see that movie ever for the 800th time.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Okay. I see you're of the age that you probably watched that one and all the other movies.
Yeah, no, not in the theater, but yeah.
You know. No, of course not in the theater. But no, I caught myself talking to a friend who never saw the movies, and was genuinely interested in watching them one day.
Yeah.
I got the box set DVD set downstairs. Like, oh, yeah? Special edition, yeah.
What did you think of the Marky Mark version?
I liked it. It was different, but it... I don't know. I like where they've done with the James Franco version more.
Thank you.
There's actually a really sweet timeline I saw online to talk about the different movies and how even the first ones, how, mm-hmm. you know, Charlton Heston goes in the future and then when goes in the past and bring... Or the apes get back in the past for... I think that's what, Rise of the Planet of the Apes or whatever, yeah, in the original ones, yeah. And how that branches off into a different one. But then they show the Marky Mark one, which kind of is alternative and going its own way because it doesn't have anything to do with the James Franco one, which then created its own. I don't know. It was a really sweet, interesting thing because I really love Planet of the Apes. So
the Rise of the Planet of the Apes, that's the one where they have their little talking monkey on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it's the terrible, like... forward, back, where it's just going, mama, 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 mama. It's so bad. But when I was a kid and I saw that, man, that creeped me out. But anyway.
small correction from earlier. I said Rachel Scott. It's S-T-O-T-T, Stott.
Stott, okay.
So my apologies there to Rachel. Okay. In this issue, it opens up on... Earth, like Earth from the movie, and
wait, which
like
movie?
Nowadays Earth,
or like we're talking Planet of the Apes Earth.
Okay,
and it introduces you to a couple apes and a mysterious third party who's introducing more modern technology to the apes, so they could. Resolve whatever conflict is happening at the time. So that's very interesting. It ties together to the primitive directive, you know, because are you familiar with the prime directive in the Star Trek world?
No.
Okay, so the prime directive. Go ahead.
Is that to boldly go where no one's gone before?
No, that's the objective.
Oh.
Or that's the mission.
Oh.
No, the prime directive is that Starfleet... And the United Federation of Planets, when they go somewhere, they're not to interfere with other worlds, especially of worlds that are not evolved, because they don't want to. Because if you like
if they went to New Jersey, they could look but not touch.
That sounds cool, but I don't know where are you going with that.
I was making a joke that New Jersey is not evolved, but.
Oh, well, okay.
Come on, like you haven't figured out that my jokes are terrible by now.
Just... No, I thought you were serious for a moment.
That's why my jokes are terrible. Because no one knows I'm making them but me.
Well, so what's happening in this issue is there's a small conflict between the Enterprise and some Klingons. And there's a discovery where the Klingons have discovered a wormhole or portal to the Planet of the Apes timeline. So that's the jits of what's happening in issue one is that they're explaining in very great detail. Thank you, Dr. Spock, Mr. Spock, whatever you want to be called, about explaining what's happening with this vortex and speculating what's going to happen if the Enterprise chooses to go to the other side. Now, ultimately, they do go to the other side. There's no interaction between the Star Trek world and the Planet of the Apes world.
Yet.
Or this the Enterprise crew and the Planet of the Apes. Yet. But it is a great setup with so much detail that it is just... It's very, very pleasing because... Reading something like this, where you have a big crossover, I'm sure you have lots of questions. Like, I'm sure if we ever talked about like how GoBots would meet together with Transformers, like you have a lot of questions about how the two worlds would mingle, and they try to
That wouldn't work because GoBots are way smaller,
and they're gayer.
I just remember somebody explaining to me one time. When we were slightly older, that GoBots were the poor kids' Transformers. And I'm like, aw. I had a couple GoBots.
Yeah.
Their transformations suck compared to...
Well, see, the only GoBots I remember was the Scooter. Yeah. The Scooter, the little chump boy.
Oh, the bad guy was the motorcycle, Cyclone or something, and then Jet guy. Leader One was his name.
You already blown me away with your GoBot knowledge. I will say I am very happy that I bought this issue digitally. Because I'm viewing it on my tablet, and it is very crisp. The lines are great. Everything's very vibrant in this, and I really love doing the panel-by-panel viewing of this with the tablet in the vertical position.
We've talked about this before, and I have a question for you because I don't remember. Do you look at the full page first and then do the panel-by-panel, or are you strictly panel-by-panel?
At first, I first started reading it like just the normal full page. And then after a few pages in, I'm like, oh, I need to back up and then do it panel-by-panel.
Because I don't know, you've got an Android tablet. I've got an Apple tablet. Mm-hmm. And on mine, I know that I can do the... You can view the full page, like it shows you the full page, and then you go panel by panel by panel. And then when it goes to the next page, it shows you full page, and it's panel by panel by panel.
I'm sure that's a settings feature, and I've not played with any of the default settings on it. On my Android tablet, it's panel by panel by panel. It doesn't expand out to the full page.
And what's interesting, and this is total side note, but you know what?
That's our whole show.
Yeah.
It's just one giant site.
Yeah. So I started reading...
We're actually supposed to be talking about, like, cooking and stuff, but we got some tangent on comic books.
Yeah, like how there's too many cooks, you know.
Come on, Derek, don't spoil the broth.
Anyway.
You're about ready to sing it, weren't you?
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, too many cooks. Yeah. God, I hate you for... Oh, it's stuck in my head. But no, I've been reading a book called Understanding Comics by Scott McCloud, which for anybody that is interested in the mechanics of comics, I'm loving it. I'm halfway through this book, and I'll probably finish it today. But one of the things, like the section that I just was reading, was talking about what happens between panels, you know, like what happens in the gutters. And so reading it panel by panel... versus seeing the whole page and the layout, that's a completely different... That can be an entirely different take on the comic itself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's why I was kind of curious how you were doing it. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Oh, I just think because it's digitally, I think just the art just... No pun intended, but just really just flies off the page. And it's a little bit stunning And I want to say I could almost see a little bit more depth in the drawing. I don't know if it's probably because I'm having this nice backlit screen. It's just, the art's beautiful. It's drawn similar to the J.J. Abrams style Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
Where you have a similar feel in the character, like the old actor's appearance here. And I really, really like what I'm seeing. So this is great. This is great art, especially when they start showing, like the travel of the Enterprise and going through this little vortex. It is just well done. So I don't know if anyone who's not a fan of either one of these is gonna pick it up, because I think the writing does take some small assumptions. Like, you know who what a Klingon is, for instance. But, oh, sorry about that.
what is that?
That's my timer saying that I need to shrink down my review, and I'm probably entering, the 20th minute? So, this is good shit. Issue one. I don't know. I didn't do any looking up to see how many issues this is going to be, but this is going to be a nice series that I'll pick up the rest on.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going from a nice series to a not so nice series.
It's a naughty.
Well, and I don't mean not so nice in the fact that it's bad. I just mean that it's not clean. of course, anything that comes out of the garbage is never clean. And thus, Garbage Pail Kids Puketacular one shot from IDW.
Puketacular.
Yeah, and now
do we know? Is this the first time IDN has done anything with the Garbage Pail Kids?
Well, IDN hasn't done it.
I goddamn it! I think I've done this a million times.
You did it the other day when we were talking to.
I should just call them. I should just refer to them as the full name,
which is
Independent
Distribution Wizards? I don't know.
Independent Dishwasher?
I actually don't know what that happens. Or what.
Independent Dealers? Well-wishers?
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, this is a one-shot, and this is a suggestion for immature readers 13+.
That's definitely us.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people on here, so I apologize. However, because of the fact that they appreciate the whole Garbage Pail Kids thing, they've had a little fun with the names. So we have Peg Leg Peter Baggy, Barnacle Bill Ray, Hillary Barfin Barta, Jason Basin Millet, Green Dean Haspiel, Vomitin' Vito Del Sante, Smokey Joe Simcoe, Torn Sean Manning, Skid Mark Pingitori, which I like that one. I think that's my favorite, is Skid Mark. Junkie Jeff Zapata, J. Decay Lynch, Dead Fred Wheaton, letters by Slobby Robbie Robbins, and edits by Denny Sore Tipton. So this is a bunch of short stories in here, which, not surprised. Okay, speaking of weird movies, anybody ever see the Garbage Pail Kids movie?
I did, saw it, but I can't really remember it.
I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it on video when it came out.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's not memorable, but I know I watched it one time, but that's about as far as I remember.
Okay. Well, the reason that I wanted to bring this up was, A, this is a little bit different. B, there's a bunch of stories. C, I need to give a warning for C. If you don't like bodily functions, don't buy this book.
Well, I say, I don't remember much about that movie, but I do remember the cards, and there was lots of vomit.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, well, and in particular, the second story in here.
I thought you were talking about poop.
Which, The stool softening script is by Bill Ray. There's farty art, crappy colors, fecal fonts, and excremental edits. Awesome. The title of this story is called Shitstorm.
Did it actually say that?
Wow.
Well, it's a dollar bill, hashtag, an exclamation, and then T-S-T-O-R-M. But
is that a bunch of people like holding their buttocks? Oh, where's the toilet?
Well, no, it's it's Captain Potty Scotty and Jason Basin Burster fighting over who can poop the most. And the short version is they create a shit tsunami that covers the entire globe, and there's just poop everywhere. It's just poop. And more poop. And there's just so many, like, really fun, offensive things in this book. Like, the fact that you've got, I don't know if they're little Nordic people, but they're clubbing baby seals, for God's sake.
Oh, God. Derek, everything that you've been telling me, man, this is definitely worthy of an Eisner Award.
the parts in here that I actually loved the most were... What they were talking about, like, some Comic-Con type shit. The first one is called Collect 'Em All. This is a Peter Baggy story. And it's like, welcome to the 40th annual Lower Sandusky Comic-Con. And it's just two nerds at a Comic-Con collecting stuff and, like, you know, having to deal with their nerdy little ins and outs and not being able to find the things that they want and, you know... but they had some free t-shirts in there, and the shirt says Who Farted, but they're scented shirts. And then later on, there's a great little story in here, by Sean Manning, who wrote it, and Mark Pingitori, who did the art on here. And it's Live Mike and Concrud. Live Mike, if you don't remember, he was kind of like the rock star that got shocked, I think, from his microphone.
Okay.
But he's a writer, and so all these people are coming up to him to talk to him about his book that he's doing. And somebody going, can I tell you about my story idea? And he's like, I can't do that because if I used it, blah, 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 or any bit of it. And people just going, well, okay, well, why didn't so-and-so recognize the other person? Because they first fought back in this issue, and then they didn't even acknowledge the fact that in this issue, and they did that, and then blah, 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 like, total fanboy questions. And I just thought it was kind of fun because there's definitely the nod to being a nerd in here, which when you've been immersed in this culture a little bit, you can truly get into that. And then Fry and Brian in The Shocking Truth. This one was fun because he steals a comic book and he slips on a turd.
Just a turd in the comic shop?
No. He steals it and he's running outside.
Oh, and then there's just a pile of poop outside.
Yeah, with flies surrounding it, you know, of course. But, you know, it teaches you that you shouldn't steal comics. And I think that this was a nice little social commentary on the fact that not only should you steal comics from a comic shop, don't steal your comics digitally. They don't say that or even allude to it, but that, in my mind, that's what it was. So, but yeah, this is fun, filthy, like just gutter humor. But, you know, if you like that stuff, you'll enjoy it. I mean, the artwork on this is what you would expect for a Garbage Pail Kid book. I mean, it's they're weird looking characters, and you know, there's definitely a nice style that goes back and forth. You can definitely tell the beginning and end of each story because the artist, they drew these characters, but they drew them in their own way, and so I appreciated that in there. And yeah, I mean, check it out there if you guys like Garbage Pail Kids. There's a Love Stinks issue coming out in February, and that's pretty much it. Although the one thing that this is a little different, and I'm assuming that it came out, and I'm assuming that this book hit the shelves later than it was supposed to, because there's an ad in the back for Transformers versus G.I. Joe, which I'm assuming is like some kind of compendium, because the first volume is $20. But that was, you know, it's 152 pages. But that was supposed to come out in December 2014. But I just loved the artwork because it's old school 80s.
Oh, hell yeah.
Stuff on there. But anyway, check out Garbage Pail Kids Puketacular if you like crude humor. And it's from IDW, not IDEA.
So. Yep. And IDW stands for Idea and Design Works.
Oh.
The more you know.
Thank you,
Google.
So this is the first issue from IDNW.
Oh my God! Will you please drink more?
God damn!
Please drink more.
That's my problem. That's my problem right there. No, this is the first issue. Now, there was a partnership between IDW and Tops.
Yeah.
Did you get the normal issue or did you get this deluxe edition?
Okay, I got the deluxe edition.
Okay.
Which cost $1 more than the regular one, and it came with a trading card sticker.
Oh, that's cool. So good. You got a nice little homage to where it all started.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's kind of, I'm like, man, I kind of want to see the card, cuz what I was disappointed about was that it wasn't on shitty cardboard. I wanted a shitty cardboard semi-gloss stock, like, you know, that you could tell is like printed on brown fucking cardboard. That's what I wanted. Like, but no, they like went all like high class and did it nicely. And I'm like, well, fuck you for doing it nice.
So that's what I think of when I think of Garbage Pail Kids. High class.
Just like that review.
Yep.
Keeping it classy here.
It's trashy. All right. Well, Tony, this being a very small week, I know that you didn't have anything for off the shelf that you really wanted to talk about, but you've got something else for us, don't you?
Well, yeah. Well, looking at the list right here, it looks like there was about 11 or 12 books that came out to shops.
No, I thought there was 50, is what I heard from all publishers.
Well, that's probably some of the smaller ones than the. But I'm just saying, like, what's looking at from, like, Boom had just one, DC had three, IDW had one, Image had two, Marvel had, like, three. But this is just another website I'm looking at. But
yeah, no, like, I mean, like I said, I think there were 50 total, like, from everybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying, not including digital and all that stuff too. Short week. So I had to kind of go back into the long box and pick out something that I've just wanted to discuss for a while. And it's all about an image within the book. And what sucks, I couldn't find the correct one that me and my brother have talked about multiple times. But I found a similar image. And this takes part in Cable and Deadpool number 3. And I believe this is the second series of Cable and Deadpool, because already he has pretty much been wiped of his techno-organic virus.
That is so fucking 90s, isn't it?
No, this is actually 2004.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
This is the book that got me and Matthew back into comic book reading. He was picking it up, and he's like, this is just so awesome. And this was the one book that he picked up, and I'd give him some money every now and then we started collecting a few more books, and then when it split off into Deadpool and then a Cable, their own series, he picked up Cable, I picked up Deadpool, and that's where our affinity for these two came from.
Okay.
Now, Cable has always been, he was created by Sinister to be one of the most powerful mega-level mutants. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. However, he's had the techno-organic virus put in him, which he's had to use his telekinesis and his telepathic abilities, maybe if I could speak, to keep it in check.
How do you keep a virus in check with telepathy?
It's, well, because it's a...
Is it a sentient virus?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the Technoarch, like Warlock,
yeah.
I think, or whatever. So, or a strain of that, and this is...
So it's like the Phalanx?
It came from, yeah, part of the Phalanx is where I believe it came from.
Okay.
Back in the day. I don't know, could be wrong. All I know is that it's...
You could be making shit up. Yeah, whatever.
Just go with it. But I do know within this, he's now pretty much got overall power. He is got his telekinesis is running 100%, and so is his telepathy. So what he's saying is he wants to change the world, and now he's trying to be this mutant messiah to get rid of war, get rid of famine. He's in this series, he then makes this island called Providence, where it's the mecca of like technology, this and that. He takes some of his ship and everything out there. And this also has a lot to do with a rogue story later on with the Hedicomb and when that was taken over her body. That's the gist of the story. But this is more a review on the panel, and it's the two pages that I showed you guys of where it's just showing him sitting there. He's talking to Charles Xavier, and just nonchalantly, while sipping some hot cocoa, is just taking apart his entire Swiss Alps secret base.
Which just a little credit here. The since we're talking the artwork, Patrick Zercher did the art on that, and I was kind of surprised to see that in there, because now Zercher's done quite a bit of stuff for both DC and Marvel, but you know, he's done some Green Hornet stuff. He's done some Vampirella, some Shadow Man, and all that too. But it was just kind of interesting when I opened it up. I was like, oh, Zercher did this, but, you know, it's 11 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's 2015. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, it's weird, what? But, yeah, okay, so anyway, Tony, go back to the...
So the one page that I couldn't find within, and I can't remember if it was actually X-Man or Cable or whatever, was this one shot of him just taking apart this gun, just with this telepathy, but then in the next scene you see him taking apart his entire home. Well, this has the same thing, pretty much, which boils down to my main question is, how the hell do you do that? I mean, I understand the mutant power, but, like, your brain has to be going at 100 miles an hour to be thinking, take out this screw, take out this, and, like, the image is just so perfect where it's showing the small screws and nuts and bolts, the boards being taken away.
It's
very beautifully seen.
We started to talk about this, and this is more of you wanting to talk about the powers rather than the actual book itself. But
well, it's all because of that image that evokes right. This question of like...
Well, no, that's totally cool. I just wanted to explain in case people are going, where the fuck is the review? There's not really going to be one.
Yeah, I pretty much pulled out an old book that I think everyone should read. Just to check out that page to also make you think of this one question.
All right, so here's my explanation. It's very simple. And I think for the mutants and whatnot that have the power of telekinesis, that it's just like anything else. You can walk down the street, you can chew gum, you can talk on your phone, you could probably even text and walk, and you could reach in your pocket and grab your keys all at the same time. For somebody who's, like, as simple-minded as you, I understand that that's not easy.
Fuck off.
To comprehend.
So you're saying if I had telekinesis, I wouldn't be able to fucking open up a door?
Well, no, you could... but you wouldn't be able to walk and do it at the same time. It's your birthday, you get ripped on more. so no, it's just, I think it's kind of more of one of those things that when you, like, there's a lot of things that we do at multiple, you know, where we multitask that we take for granted. I think the same thing can be said very easily for a telekinetic, you know.
And I could totally say that it's just a secondary nature. It just would happen. But then when you start thinking of, like, even just what if I, instead of taking apart an entire car, I just wanted to telekinesis out the oil and change and stuff. Like, that's, like, focusing a bit. So does that take more of your mental time to actually physically do that? Or you're just kind of like, doof?
I would say it would probably take a little bit more time because, you know, if you're physically changing out the oil, you're not paying as much attention to, you know, like, say someone bitching at you in the background, hey, where's my dinner? You're like, whatever, I'm changing the oil. You know? So I think this is where, like, yeah, there's some things where he's going to need a little bit more, but you could still talk to somebody while you're doing it, changing the oil. But then again, I don't think that just because you have telekinetic powers that you necessarily would have the ability to automatically understand everything. He probably read a book or two, or maybe he spent a summer building houses for homeless mutants, you know, And he's like, okay, I understand that. Oh, I got powers now. Fuck swinging the hammer. I'm doing it with my brain. Bang!
Kevin, your thoughts?
Kevin's just looking at me like I'm an idiot.
What? He has put much a lot more thought into this than I ever think I could.
This is going to be my new favorite thing. I'm going to bring up like a random superpower, and we can dissect how it would really work, kind of, sort of, in real life. But
kind of, sort of.
I really do think this is probably one of my newest superpowers then, because I could just look at my house and go, bam, everything in order and clean.
Or my girlfriend will just come over and clean your kitchen for you.
That's magic. I mean, what you're talking about.
No, it was pretty magic when we stopped over last night. My girlfriend just started cleaning his kitchen.
That was awesome.
Yeah. So, anyway, all right. Good book.
Go sports.
Yay, sports. All right, should we do some... We don't have a ton of news, but we actually do have some this week.
A little bit of news.
Yeah. All right, so this is pretty cool, guys. So you guys have heard about the new Avengers Age of Ultron movie.
Yes.
You saw the first trailer, right?
Yes.
I did see it. My mind was thinking of, did you see it at the time that it actually aired? Which was no. But I did see it after the fact.
Well, get this. There is a new trailer out for the new trailer that's coming out on the Super Bowl.
What?
Yeah. There's a trailer for a fucking trailer.
You know what's awesomer?
What's that?
Is
awesomer.
I actually forgot about it until you were talking about it today. So I was watching the Rose Bowl, which is the college football semifinal.
Yay, sports!
Yep. bring my football knowledge to the podcast. And did you know there was a commercial to tell people to watch that spot?
So there was a commercial
which aired about 5:30.
So there's a commercial for the trailer for the trailer for the movie.
Yes.
That is the dumbest shit ever.
Ant-Man had a pretty good one. They're debuting the real trailer on the Agent Carter, but they had a ant-sized promo. And what it was it took up a small part of the screen. It was like in the lower right corner. So you like, there's probably nerds out there that could dissect it looking at it really close with a microscope, but like didn't interrupt anything else, and it was an ant-sized trailer to the real trailer that's going to be coming up.
I need more to drink.
Well, did you say you also saw a trailer for comic books too?
Yeah. There's a trailer for Avengers Now, which Marvel put out. Which, you know, there's...
Did they just put this out?
I just saw this like 2 days ago.
Okay.
But it encompasses a lot of the titles that are already out, like the all new Captain America and Superior Iron Man, Thor, you know, things like
Lady,
that.
Lady Thor.
It's just still Thor.
Yeah.
Why do you gotta be sexist?
Just drawing attention.
Yeah.
Just drawing attention.
But then it also brings up the new like Shield comic or Agents of Shield or whatever it was that came out this week, which I have not read yet, but I did pick up, so we'll find out how that is. But like Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, and I'm pretty sure you can beat a squirrel, you know, so.
Well, not if she's unbeatable.
No. Man, it'd be uncanny if you could. But no, it's a there's a trailer for comic books, and it's just it's weird. I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know.
Like, I mean,
trailers for comic books, it doesn't do anything for me.
If I went, hey, kid, watch this, I don't think that kid would be like, I need comic books now. Like, that trailer's there for people that know the characters. Because if you don't know what those characters are or any of those titles, all right. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Whereas movie theaters, trailers, it's got to be generic enough to to suck you in.
Maybe this is just a trailer for a trailer for the comics. Like this one trailer for, and then there's going to be individual trailers for each comic.
Well, then there'll be those little teaser pictures that they've had too.
Yeah. Oh, won't.
They just need to stop teasing. Just fucking just let us read the stories when they unfold. Like, I don't need to be hinted at to buy something. I'm going to buy it because I enjoy these writers, these artists, and what's going on in the story. All this shit is just, ugh.
Well, speaking of teasers, Ant-Man number one has Scott Lang doing his own, like, he's gone solo. So, I don't know if I know we talked about the Ant-Man book coming out, but I don't know if we actually said that it was going to be a Scott Lang book or not.
No, but I think they're heavily promoting him because he's going to be the focus of the new Ant-Man. I think they're pretty much trying to just get rid of Hank Pym. I don't know why, but...
Yeah, it ties in with the movies.
Yeah.
Well, and people need to be a lot more, you know, understanding of who that is. Go ahead, Tony.
So I was going to say something interesting that I found out, unless you had something still with that.
No, not with that one.
Okay. Vin Diesel sent out a tweet with a picture of him, and in the background it says, "Are you inhuman?" So whether that's meaning he's in a deal to be in that movie or not, I would assume that when he signed on with Marvel, it was going to be more than just saying, "I am Groot."
But if he's Black Bolt, he won't say anything at all.
I know. So that's where I feel like they'd be a perfect match for him talking in one movie with just his voice and then being seen in just the other. But
well, this way he can earn the full paycheck.
And I honestly think, like, I mean, face structure and everything, you put the mask and everything, he looks kind of like he could be a Black Bolt, so it wouldn't be bad. But I don't know, that's just speculation right now. But obviously if he's tweeting that out, you know, it could be something that he knows about.
Yeah.
Well, I got something. Okay. The end of an era. The stroke of midnight. Star Wars is no longer a Dark Horse property.
Stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Ah.
Yeah, it's all gone. So in their last week that they had, they were selling. They're having a fire sale on Star Wars, the best deal. Every single Star Wars comic for $300
digitally.
Yeah
that,
which I wouldn't want all those Star Wars comics for $300.
Yeah, but I know
I wouldn't want them because thank God, how many long boxes would that be? Oh God,
I have no idea.
Because they've had the property for a couple decades, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn. Yeah, but yeah,
it's since a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Publisher far away.
All right. Well, Tony, this next title from Boom Studios makes me think of what I want to do with that joke of yours, and that's called Curb Stomp. So actually, there's a I believe it's a miniseries coming out from Boom Studios called Curb Stomp. And from Comic Book Resources, this is the little breakdown of what it is. And it says, sometimes a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. In Machete Betty's case, that involves helping to defend her hometown of Old Beach against a corrupt local government and two other gangs. And then, you know, it kind of sounds, I don't know. Sounds to me very like 80s punk, you know, type of thing. It's a cool looking artwork from what I've seen. It's Ryan Ferrier's writing it. Devaki Neoji is drawing it. And it's a 4-issue series. It's going to be coming out in February, tail end of February. And I guess it's going to talk about equality, gender, and social class, and, you know, punk rock thrills and action. So might be worth checking out. Boom has done a pretty damn good job these last couple of years and bringing out some good stuff.
Right on.
Speaking of Boom, one other thing, and this is from the Boom Box portion of their label, which is kind of more of the... Because they've got... Well, they've got Kaboom, which is for the little kids.
Yeah, I've heard of Kaboom.
And then Boom Box, I think, is kind of more of like the teen age type. We talked about Munchkin coming to comic books. and Munchkin is going to be coming out from Boombox. And in January, it's coming out, and I think one of the things that you guys will be excited about is that Munchkin number one is going to be bundled with an exclusive card.
I think you should be excited about that. You should
fuck you
get that card. Might help out your Munchkin game a little bit better.
What, does it just tell you how to cheat?
That's in the rules, Derek. I've told you that many times. You can cheat on that game. That's why it's so great. Marvel has put out the profiles of both Ultron and Vision, and it pretty much gives a telling tale of where they're from. Ultron was a computer program hidden in the ruins of the Chitauri invasion of New York.
Now you're talking like the movie version.
Yeah, the movie version, because it's way different than the comic book version. And after being experimented by Tony Stark, becomes Ultron. And within the books, it was always Hank Pym that created the AI of Ultron. In the books, Vision was Ultron's kid, or Ultron's vision of a childlike robot from him.
Wait, Vision's Ultron's what?
Kind of like his son.
Yeah.
Ultron created Vision. Okay. But Vision had his own personality and became a good guy. This is saying that it's programmed by both Tony Stark and Bruce Banner, also having the ability to fly and have energy beams and density form, which is pretty much Vision's thing, to help the struggle against Ultron. So a little bit different how he's being made as well, but hey, I've pretty much had to let, you know, the comic book, you know, mythos go on these movies a little bit, and yeah.
All right. Last news thing for me, there was an interview with Gail Simone over at Newsarama, which was talking about the Convergence event that's going to be happening in DC. Mm-hmm. And what some people are concerned about was something that she kind of hinted at when they were asking her about the Secret Six book that she's working on, and how this Convergence is going to affect the story both pre and post event. And her response said, "We aren't really addressing it. The story carries right over." That, you know, and it's like, and she goes, "I am writing two issues with Nightwing and Oracle, and yeah, that's fun, blah, blah." But where people are concerned is where my concern has become with events is that you've got 2 months of comics that are coming out for an event where everything in DC stops and focuses on this event. And the potential worry is that there is zero repercussions whatsoever. Zero. It's just telling a story, but it will not affect anything going forward, because she's now in her book, she's saying, yeah, the story basically continues. Now, she's not writing like a top tier book as far as, you know, the universe in DC is concerned. It's more of a side story book. So could that be why? Or is it because events nowadays just don't fucking matter? And they're just a cash grab, because Tony, you and I talked about this. In order to get every single book in those 2 months that ties in with Convergence, it's going to cost you $365 at the newsstand.
It's a lot of bread.
Yeah. So, you know, and this is speculation right now, but is this kind of the hint that retailers are worried about and comic fans like me are worried about, that, you know what? Unless you just really want something to read, there's no fucking point in the ongoing story of your favorite characters for those 2 months. So people are worried, because retailers are worried that people are going to go, cool, I can take 2 months off, not buy these books, catch up on some of the other books that I haven't read, maybe try something different, or maybe just save my money for 2 months and then come back.
That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah. Of course, I'll have variant covers, so I know that you won't. But so I don't know. I mean, is that a legit concern to you guys?
It's all the cash grabs. I hate it when the whole series is going to cost that much, but then also too continuity wise and everything else, when it doesn't matter, fuck them.
Yeah. Because I'm not really missing anything in the Marvel titles I'm reading by not have skipped everything with Axis, skipped virtually everything with Original Sin.
You know, Axis, like I said last week, though, I think Axis was decent.
I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying unnecessary. Because it really doesn't affect your characters. It doesn't affect their storyline. The shit that happens in there, it never ties into their personal storylines later.
Well, I mean, it kind of is like I said.
What's so bad about having a standalone storyline?
Yeah. I just think have a standalone storyline, but it doesn't have to tie into every fucking book. It doesn't. Or maybe my problem is the fact that it's called an event. Because an event is something that has historical ramifications. You know,
But you liked events, though. You liked Days of Futures Past. That was an event.
No, that was two single issues within the Uncanny book.
But wouldn't you say that's an event?
No, that's a storyline.
You know what? At the time, it's just a storyline. But it's so iconic, we would consider it an event now.
You would consider it a historical event. That's like saying The Dark Knight Returns. That's not an event. That was a storyline.
So it was a theatrical event.
Oh, he's talking about the book one, right?
Yeah, talking about the book. You know, I mean, saying that Days of Futures Past is an event is like saying that Cable and Deadpool miniseries is an event. No, that's a story. One single story.
What about Age of Ultron? Or not Age of Ultron. Age of Apocalypse.
That was an event.
That was a long event that if you bought all of them, was probably more than 360 because I bought all of them. That was worth it. That was good.
Was there that many tie-ins? I thought there was just like 16 issues.
Well, I mean, you had the regular ones, but then you had every...
X-Factor was one of them. You had the X-Men.
Age of Ultron.
Are we talking about the issues that were released in the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was Excalibur. There was another one.
There was Factor X.
Externals. There's a lot of different X titles.
Basically, all the X titles and then some got new titles. X-Man versus, you know.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of the Executioner song.
Oh, that had like 12.
Yeah, that's where I'm. Okay, my apologies.
Yeah, the Phalanx Covenant and all those other things. It's just, I don't know. It's what actually came out of Age of Apocalypse that stuck.
X-Man came here, and then Sugar Man and Dark Beast. The Age of Apocalypse was still there, which they've visited multiple times. We had Dark Nightcrawler that came here for a bit for X-Force team. I mean, right. Would any of that have happened without Age of Apocalypse?
Secret Wars? Yeah, you got the symbiote, you know, out of an event. When's the last time that there's been an event that actually had ramifications? Fear Itself? Let's talk about that one, Tony. You love that one.
Besides that one, it was at a time when I don't know how much you were reading then. You weren't reading really Avengers, but Civil War, going into the Secret Invasion, going into Dark Reign, going into Siege. Those ones, hands down, flowed into each other, but that's when it felt like they had already.
But that's just event to event to event.
No, I mean, there's tie-ins, there's stuff going into them, but each event ended with a huge thing that, I mean, Norman Osborn wouldn't have become in charge of Hammer had he not gotten the what Deadpool was doing to go get this special gun to shoot the Skull Queen, which then Norman Osborn did it, got televised all over the world, and he's the hero of humanity, so he then got put in charge of Hammer, which then made him do his cabal, which was the Dark Reign, so you have all these bad guys being in charge of the shit. And he made his Dark Avengers with Bullseye, his Hawkeye, and everything. That was some huge shit fucking writing.
All right, where's Hope Summers?
All right, I think you're just picking on the X-Books and what they're not doing right, because Avengers and stuff have been having some real ramifications in their team mix-ups.
They're just, that Avengers apparently are just going to event to event to event, so then why call them events?
I haven't
really... Yeah, I will say, if you're just one event right after another.
Yeah, they're not as bad as the storyline.
I'd say they just I think you're right. They just need a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah. So anyway, that's enough of me bitching.
That was a huge off subject, but we do that.
Yeah, on occasion. All right, Indy Turnpike this week. I got a new one here. One of the new books that came out this week was Graveyard Shift, number one from Image Comics. And I believe this is, I want to say it's going to be a four issue miniseries on here. This is written by Jay Farber, and art is by Fran Bueno, letters by Ed Dukeshire. This is kind of follows, like at the beginning, it follows a group of cops and in a large city area. And they go to bust this guy, and they bust in, and the guy is actually hiding on the ceiling. And
like Spider-Man? Like sticking to it, or just like... Or like Matrix style, like up against the wall?
Kind of like a Spider-Man.
Okay-esque.
And what you find out later is the guy jumps out. He's very pale-skinned. And he gets shot, and he's like, and that doesn't do it. And then the police unload on him, and he falls out the window into the river, and they're like, oh, the current must have carried him away. Well, then, and it kind of follows the one main cop in this group, and you kind of see as time elapses when he goes home, and he's eating dinner with his fiance, and it shows some flashes that all four or five of the other guys that were in that squad with him, they're now all dead. And he's eating dinner, and somebody knocks at the door, and they open up, and guess what? It's some people coming to kill him, and they also kill his fiance. They're actually all vampires.
Oh.
Now, the thing I liked about this is Farber put a short and very concise little kind of letter to the readers in the back of it, saying that he started this over 10 years ago. And this was pre-True Blood. It was pre-Twilight. And he goes, yeah, he goes, was the market maybe a little saturated with vampire stuff then? Sure. Not quite as much, you know, it wasn't quite as saturated then as it probably is now. But he has a love for the vampire stories. I'm not going to spoil some of the stuff that goes on in here, because I think whether you like vampire stuff or not, this has an interesting twist, I think, on the vampire story, because it's not necessarily just about the vampire, but it's kind of, it really is focusing on the main cop and his fiance who gets killed in here. And I think it's just going to be kind of an interesting twist on it. I think, too, with this being a miniseries, whether it's 4, 5, 12 issues, whatever it may be, I think this will be kind of a nice little wetting of the palate in the fact that you don't have to get too far into the vampire world. And, yeah, it takes some – I think there are going to be some assumptions made here as to, you know, what you do and don't know about vampires. For instance, when the vampires come to kill him, the candles get knocked over and – fire ends up separating the vampires from the cop who's injured, but he's not dead, and they leave because they can't get to him. They're like, he'll die anyway. Well, he gets rescued. But because vampires, you can kill a vampire with fire, it's one of those things that you need to know internally. They don't explain it in here. Mm-hmm. So, really nice job. I really enjoyed the artwork in here. And, I mean, there's some transitions in the panels.
Very dark.
Yeah.
Except for the part where there's fire.
Yeah. But there's some panel transitions that just are very thought-provoking, and I appreciated that. So I'm glad this came out on a light week, because I don't know if I would have picked it up otherwise. But I'm oh, did you win a prize?
Surprise!
Yeah. But anyway.
Surprise, it wasn't my phone.
I know, that's the fucked up part. So anyway, that's it. And then I got to... That's it for Indy Turnpike. I do have a booze and a book for you guys, though.
Brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Go get your retro NES flasks and...
And the five new titles, which are fucking sweet. So, this one is pretty simple. Rasputin number 3. and a Dom Perignon. Very simply put, I think these are the best of the best, and it's time to celebrate the new year in a great comic book. I'm not going to say anything more because Rasputin doesn't use a lot of words either. So there you go.
That works.
Have you ever had Dom?
Maybe.
I know it's always touted as the best of the best.
Well, yeah, it's like $300 to $600 a bottle or something.
But when I have Boone's Farm, that just works too.
Yeah. Well, I've had some Mad Dog 2020, and I wrote Dom Perignon. Oh God, I forgot about that shit. No, I've had expensive champagne, but I got to say, I've never had Dom Perignon.
Yeah.
Is this the first week ever that we won't have Last Call because we've talked about all of them?
Yep, pretty much.
Wow.
The only other book that I picked up, which I didn't read yet, was the S.H.I.E.L.D. book.
Yep.
That's it.
Wow, yeah. That's very quickly. Anything else you want to say to listeners before we go?
Happy New Year.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's your birthday! Hey! It's your birthday! Oh, you're going to be a slobbering mess later tonight.
That I am. That I am, folks.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I think that does it for us. So, happy 2015, everybody.
Hooray.
Yeah. All right. I know what Tony's night's going to be like for the rest of the night. It's going to be too many shots. Ooh, yeah. Too many shots.
Listeners, keep reading your books, and we'll be back to you to talk about them then later.
Too many shots!